The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "About that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from our Creator God and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. William Sloane Coffin preached, "We have learned to soar through the air like birds, to swim through the seas like fish, to soar through space like comets. Now it is high time we learned to walk the earth as the children of our God." Friends in Christ, it's Advent. And all of this morning's scripture has a shared theme. God is coming. This isn't about you. This isn't about me. God is coming. And despite our remarkable accomplishments, soaring through the air and the seas and the heavens, we have shown our consistent incompetence in moving toward God. But the message? Don't worry. God is coming to you. God is moving toward us, friends in Christ. Is it good news or bad? Dr. William Willimon, United Methodist Bishop, had been dean of the chapel at Duke University for 10 years when the university congregation was asked to complete a survey about what people expected from a sermon. Dr. Willimon said he was not surprised that the highest rated sermon expectation was just like this. "I want a sermon that reminds me of my Christian responsibility and motivates me to use my gifts and talents and to respond to the needs of the world." Dr. Willimon said, "Okay, it's all about you, huh? Here goes." And he began to respond to the request. "Church, this week I want you to do something about your sexism, your racism, your classism, your ageism, your rheumatism, and ethnocentrism. Stop using styrofoam, go vegan, go gluten-free. If you want peace, work for justice, fight against gentrification and mechanization, eat locally, don't drink so much, don't give so little. Practice civility, mindfulness, inclusiveness, take precautions on dates, keep Sabbath, breathe deeply, live simply, practice diversity, perform random acts of kindness. You drink too much. Stop it. You give too little. Be polite. Feed the hungry. Do a good deed daily. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's up to you to do right or it won't get done. You are the hope of tomorrow. You can do anything you set your mind to. You drink too much."
And he paused. After the long set of directives, Willimon says, "You notice anything missing?" "God, it's not all about you. God is missing in much of our quest for responsible motivation. We're relying on ourselves." Christianity is not a technique for reminding us of what we need to do to save ourselves by ourselves. We may be responsible people. We may be sensitive and caring and compassionate and open-minded and committed people, many of whom may boast multiple degrees. But it's the first Sunday of Advent, and nothing about our texts has anything to do necessarily with what you do, what I do. None of this morning's scripture panders to our exaggerated opinions of our moral and spiritual potency. There's nothing in these texts for us to think or to feel or to do. Advent is the story of God coming to us, whether we're ready or not. In William Sloane Coffin's preaching, "Now it's high time he learns to walk the earth as the children of our God." So the prophet Isaiah proclaims, "The Lord shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples." Who shall judge? The Lord shall judge. "And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore, whether they like it or not." Because when God has God's way, our war making will cease. Our tendency to violence, our tendency to conflict will end. Paul tells the church, "Wake up. Salvation is coming near. Get ready for God." This isn't just about getting filled up with a sense of self-reliance. This is about God's advent. And Jesus says, "God the thief is going to invade your world, kick in your door, and rip off everything you hold so dear," or something to that effect. "Stay awake. Be ready." So is this good news or bad? And young Nora, preschooler at the 9:15 service, "Bad," she said. Sounds scary. But it depends on how you are open to a living, active interventionist judging, creating, and even destroying God. It depends on how open you are to a God who does for you what you can't do for yourself. And I want you to ponder one little image to help make sense of this Advent proclamation. We're invited to enter Advent with empty hands. Like when we come to the Lord's table, when we come to receive Holy Communion, this high moment in worship arrives, and we come forward, and we hold open our empty hands to receive the mystery of the body and blood of Christ, the mystery of grace beyond our deserving. And this isn't the way we normally do things. We don't like to be empty-handed. In that moment, when we hold out our empty hands, needy, unselfconsciously, like a little child, like we couldn't have gotten along without being a gift that we couldn't earn. In that moment of empty-handedness, we are made to confess, "That's as good as it gets in Christ, church." That's the moment when we let God in. That's the moment when we quit relying simply on ourselves for our own salvation. We embrace our God, as the psalmist calls God a refuge and a strength, an ever-present help in danger. Empty-handed we come. Frederick Buechner wrote, "Turn around and believe that the good news that we are loved is better than we ever dared hope. And that to believe in that good news, to live out of it and toward it, to be in love with that good news, is of all the glad things in this world, the gladdest thing of all. And he concludes, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And we conclude, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.